hour is almost over. Can't turn.
Jim Lauderdale, what an honor and a pleasure to meet you.
Well, likewise, thank you.
So let's go back in time. You were a kid in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Was music always a part of who you are?
Yes. My mom was a choir director and taught music in schools. My dad was a minister, and he had a great voice, a big range, great bass singer, great tenor singer, mm-hmm. very musical. His dad was also a minister, and they sang the Psalms, the Bible Psalms, mm-hmm. a lot. And that's where I got a lot of my melody sense, was from that.
Were you in choir as a kid?
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah. And then hearing, just getting that ear training, and then when I was seven, after just loving music, and then when the Beatles came on Ed Sullivan, that harmony, the sound, the newness of it just transfixed me. And then a few years later, I got just obsessed with bluegrass music mm-hmm. and country music, along with all the great rock and roll and soul that was going on. So that mixture of things these days we call Americana, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of American roots music. Yeah. But yeah, music was always a big part of my life.
And you literally were embedded in the heartland, in the roots of Americana.
Yes.
You probably had neighbors, people in your town that were legends hanging on their front porch.
There were great pickers, and on TV too in Charlotte, well, before Charlotte, even in Troutman, and then when I was 13 when we moved, there was a great TV show, the Arthur Smith Show, and he had a terrific band, and they would play country and bluegrass. And there was a cowboy, Fred Kirby, had a show for kids, and he sang cowboy songs. Yeah, it was a real hotbed for music. Then when I was 14, I went for the first time to the Union Grove Fiddlers Convention up near where I was born. Mm-hmm. And that was my first bluegrass festival. So ever since then, I really have a special place in my heart for festivals.
Did you ever play fiddle?
I did get a fiddle when I got out of college. I moved to Nashville for about 5 months. Okay. And before I went to college, I was living in Chapel Hill, North Carolina for a couple of years. And I was in a duo. I played banjo with my friend Rick Boley, who played guitar. And Mike Cross, a solo artist that lived in the Chapel Hill area, played a lot of Irish fiddle during his set and old-timey stuff as well. And so I got the bug, I got a fiddle, and I didn't have the concentration and the wherewithal to be a good fiddle player. And even my banjo playing fell by the wayside to a large extent because I started writing songs.
You know, it's such a paradox. The fiddle is such a simple appearing instrument, right?
But, yeah, it is, but it's really difficult to play well,
yeah.
You know, to that, you know, the image of somebody practicing fiddle in the house and what the household has to endure, you know, while they're learning how to play in pitch and mm-hmm. everything. You know, much like I'd say, I can't imagine the pedal steel guitar, which is one of my favorite instruments. Mm-hmm. That is such a complex instrument. But yeah, that the pedal steel and the fiddle, as far as, because on the fiddle there's no frets, mm-hmm. so you have to really develop this sense.
Understood.
Yeah.
I found a fiddle at a garage sale, and I had a guy that restores them, you know, redo it for me. And again, it's so intimidating, it's hard for me to even pick it up.
Yeah. But as they say, as that old story goes, where the musician's in New York City and he's carrying his fiddle case and he says, "Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to Carnegie Hall?" And the passerby goes, "Practice."
I love it. I love it. So When you were going to college, what did you major in? What did you think you were going to do at that time?
Well, I went to my last 2 years of high school at the Carolina Friends School out in Durham, North Carolina, and I was living in Chapel Hill. And the banjo was just my big passion. And also, I got introduced, oddly enough, to mime. We had a mime class. And so I was in a few school plays and just really loved this mime troupe we had and just kind of getting into silent comedy. And I became just enamored with Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin. And time came around for college, and I auditioned for the North Carolina School of the Arts for drama because I'd been in some plays. And I got in, and so I went there, and it's a great school. Majored in drama and really enjoyed it and was also in a mime group there. But I started writing more and more, and I knew when I got out of college, I just didn't have that fire that an actor needs, you know, when they go to New York or Los Angeles. And I just didn't, you know, various things. And music just really won out, and that was just my real dream to do that. So I started really pursuing it hard.
But again, primary focus on writing music, right?
Yes, that was really, I wanted to be a recording artist. And when I was in Nashville for 5 months before I ended up moving to New York City, I got to hang out a lot, and this man became a mentor. He was a real idol of mine. His name was Roland White, and he was a mandolin player. He just passed this last year. And his brother, Clarence White, was a real flat-picking guitar innovator, and they had a group called the Kentucky Colonels. And then Clarence went on and joined the rock group The Byrds in a later incarnation, kind of in a country-ish period. And then Clarence decided to leave The Byrds and just play bluegrass with his brother Roland. And he was tragically killed by a drunk driver out in California after when they were loading up their car after a gig. But we did a duo album, which then we lost the tapes for. I couldn't get a deal for it. I was an unknown. And then years later,
I was physically lost.
Mm-hmm. But then we found, Roland's wife found a copy in the bottom of a box. So it came out 33 years later.
Wow.
And became my 30th album.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was very important for me, very meaningful that finally came out. But in the meantime, as I was trying to get a record deal, and eventually I started getting country record deals in Nashville and had moved to Los Angeles after New York and traveling around. But it didn't take off for me as a radio artist for country music. And so that was disappointing. And by that time, in my middle 30s, I was getting a little old for a new artist. And but luckily, my songs started getting recorded by George Strait and Patti Loveless and Kathy Mattea and Vince Gill and the Dixie Chicks and people like that. And that kept me going. And that period of time has allowed me to this day to make whatever kind of album I want independently. So that's what I'm still doing. Still have a lot of records in the can, as we say, you know, that are recorded. And so right now I've got a few country things. I've got a brand new country album. And I want to come back to Bristol, which this place is very near and dear to my heart, and do a modern day Bristol Sessions record, which of course that's what Bristol is known for, is those great recording sessions. And so I want to get old-timey musicians, acoustic musicians, let them do their thing, and then bring awareness to them and more awareness to Bristol.
You know what? God, I'm just bummed. Producer just gave us a two-minute mark. I could keep you for an hour easy.
This has been great. Thank you for
so let's condense your life into 60 seconds. One curious thought, as a writer, writing music, when you first started, as you were writing lyrics, do you hear the music accompanying what your words?
You know,
how did that work?
The music for me, I might get a title, halfway down, just a little farther. Well, I believe you better catch me now, but I'm only going halfway down. And that's a song that came just from those words, halfway down, and then a melody came out, and then I filled in the words later. But that's how I go about it. Melodies come to me first.
Interesting. So then you infill with the
lyrics. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, to whatever the melody kind of leads me lyrically.
That's really cool. Give me a 30-second little tune. Yeah.
I've got a wishbone. I've got a wishbone where my backbone ought to be. It takes more than wishful thinking to live your dreams. If I was only brave enough to face what's facing me, I've got a wishbone where my backbone ought to be.
I love it.
Thank you.
What singer do you most admire?
George Jones.
Really?
Yeah. He's my favorite, I think, all-time singer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what lyricist do you most admire?
Robert Hunter, who he and Jerry Garcia wrote most of the Grateful Dead songs. And I was extremely lucky and got to write about 100 songs with Robert Hunter.
Wow.
And but he, I think about him every day and sure miss him. But he's one of the all-time greatest ever. Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm so bummed. I got to let you go.
Well, let's do it again sometime.
I would be honored.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd come see you in North Carolina.
Yes, please
do. Back roads.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, and go see David Holt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To learn more about your world, do you have a go-to website?
JimLauderdaleMusic.com.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah. Jim, thank you.
Thank you.
You made my morning, man.
Well, thanks so much. Me too. Thank you.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Bristol, Tennessee, and Bristol, Virginia, simultaneously. We'll see you here.
We landed here like scattered seeds with mighty hope. Mighty dreams came up from the same melting pot. And while we're here, we're all we've got. We'll have to cross the great divide where we all think we all are right. We seem to do that quite a lot, but while we're here, we're all we've got. We're closer than we think to almost care, and I'd give anything if we were almost there. It makes me cry and breaks my heart how we got torn so far apart. where we are now and where we're not. But while we're here, we're all we've got.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer on KCBX Radio. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
When you're blue, let's keep a running tab on the love that isn't through. I'll keep my heart open for you. Isn't through.